Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, it started. It has now begun. The co-conspirators are beginning to run for cover and are starting to finger point at each other. Oh, it wasn't me. No, it wasn't me. I didn't know. It was Comey. It was Brennan. It wasn't me. This is going to get rich before it's done. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and hump day alohas to you as we get underway with the Wednesday edition, the Bobby Mack Electric Radio Program. Great to have you along, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Pardon me, just use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063, or if you are prone to texting instead, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number is 71307. My email address, bob@1063word.com. And if you missed it, the keyword for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest. Well, I figured I'd start using that because, Sesarich at Channel 4 uses that whenever the forecast is coming up. Just in case you were ignoring him while he was showing the radar and where the fronts are and what the temperature is in Gowansville, when they play that little NBC chime, that's your cue to look up and see what the forecast is. And actually, that chime was not originally for NBC. No, the chime was originally invented by the chief engineer at WSB Radio in Atlanta way back when, 20s, 30s, somewhere in there. And the chime actually did not stand for NBC. It was WSB. And so now you know. Right. And the reason I know that, of course, is because I used to work there. But I digress. The keyword for this hour given by Lonzo right before station identification, toll, T-O-L-L. The good old boys in Columbia want to institute toll roads on the interstates in South Carolina. Like, they don't get enough of our money already. So text toll, T-O-L-L, to 71307. What do I mean when I say they're beginning to turn on each other and finger point? Don't look at me. It wasn't me that had this idea to use the Steele dossier to get the FISA warrant. No, it wasn't me. It was somebody else. Well, you know, the first one to flip, the first one in the door, is the one that gets the best deal. Now, that may turn out to be Rod Rosenstein, because he was one of the initial ones to flip from the Rod Rosenstein who wanted to wear a wire against President Trump to try and convince cabinet members to use the 25th Amendment to remove him as unfit. And now Rosenstein, well, you know, he's all for, he's all aboard the Trump train. These guys, in the immortal words of that great musical poet Bob Dylan, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. And Rosenstein and these other guys are very attuned to which way the wind is blowing. And right now it's blowing away from Donald Trump and towards FBI, DOJ, CIA. Catherine Herridge, who's the intel reporter for Fox News, piece today, a high-level dispute over which senior government officials pushed the unverified Steele dossier amid efforts to surveil, that would be spy on, the Trump campaign, has broken out into the open again after it emerged that Attorney General William Barr appointed a U.S. attorney to examine the origins of the Russia investigation and determine if the FBI and DOJ's actions were lawful and appropriate. Uh-oh. Sources familiar with the records told Fox News that a late 2016 email chain indicated then FBI Director James Comey. Didn't Comey say, I can't recall or I don't remember or my memory fails me, 200 plus times in testifying on the Hill? But then amazingly, he remembered enough to be able to write a book that claimed he didn't do anything wrong. Anyway, a late 2016 email chain indicated then-FBI Director James Comey told Bureau subordinates that then-CIA Director John Brennan insisted the dossier be included in the Intelligence Community Assessment on Russia Interference, known as the ICA, I-C-A. Fox News was told that the email chain, not yet public, referred to the dossier as Crown material. In other words, good stuff. But it was not clear why this apparent code was used. Last night, former GOP Congressman Trey Gowdy, former 4th District Congressman from right here in the upstate, was on Fox News and told Martha McCallum, Comey has a better argument than Brennan, based on what I've seen. A day earlier, Trey told Fox News, whoever is looking into this, tell them to look into emails from December 2016 involving Brennan and Comey. A former Congressman Gowdy, now a Fox News contributor, said his assessment was based on sensitive Russia records he reviewed as then-chairman of the Republican-led House Oversight Committee. But in a statement to Fox News, a former agency official, that CIA official, put the blame squarely on Comey. So see, these guys are finger-pointing at each other. No, wasn't me, said Brennan. It was Comey. No, hold on a second, says Comey. It wasn't me, it was Brennan. I saw a part of Trey's interview last night, and he said one thing that was telling. He said, usually when you have these guys and they're each telling this story, the other guy did it, usually both are right. In other words, you know, round them all up. In a statement to Fox News, former Director Brennan, along with former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, he's another bonehead, are the ones who oppose James Comey's recommendation that the Steele dossier be included in the intelligence report, the official said. Former CIA Director John Brennan pushed to include the Steele dossier. They oppose this because the dossier was in no way used to develop the ICA, the official continued. The intelligence analysis didn't include it when they were doing their work because it wasn't corroborated, and therefore it wasn't used and it wasn't included. Brennan and Clapper prevented it from being added into the official assessment. James Comey then decided on his own to brief Trump about the document. This is getting rich. There's a lot more on here. And by the way, you may recall yesterday we had a discussion about the appointment of John Durham by the Attorney General Bill Barr to conduct this probe into how the attempted abortive coup, the Russia collusion spying business conducted by DOJ, FBI, and we assume Langley as well, that Durham had at one point previously investigated Mueller in a Boston case. And it was my understanding that Mueller was not directly involved in that. And somebody contradicted me on the text line and said, oh, wait a minute, Mueller was a target of that. And there's a story today that confirms what the texter said. So apparently the information I had was incorrect, and Durham has investigated Mueller in the past. We'll get into all of this as we proceed along this afternoon. And still to come in this hour, can it be true? Headline in the Wall Street Journal, U.S. poised to let phone companies block robocalls. Please, God, let Congress do something good for a change. 16 after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show. I'll be right back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I just glanced up at the text line and noticed that a lot of people had texted the keyword for this hour to our text line. And then I see a text in here. Bobby, you just accidentally told people to text the keyword to your regular text line, 71307, instead of to 72881. Sorry about that. Yeah, toll, the keyword for this hour, T-O-L-L, does go to the contest text line number 72881. Ignore previous text line request. Right. Well, we're just getting warmed up here on hump day. Also in on the text line. Bob, if anybody is indicted by John Durham or the DOJ, drain the swamp would become a huge campaign promise win for President Trump. Bob, looks as if the president and Secretary of State Pompeo have a plan for Iran. Bobby, it looks like the situation's something's going to happen in Iran. Everybody's been ordered out of the region. Yeah, any non-essential personnel there. Bobby, it looks as if something big going on in Iraq. I'm waiting for my children to get back with their mother from Iran. They've been ordered to leave immediately. Gotcha. And this one. Bobby, little Lindsey Grahamnessy has a plan for the immigration crisis. Oh, boy. Here we go again. Yeah, I imagine somehow it also includes citizenship for all these people somewhere along the line. Don't you think?
Wrong.
I mean, that's typically Lindsey's. We'll see. I mean, you know, sometimes we get good Lindsey, sometimes we get bad Lindsey. To the phones we go this afternoon, and Lisa is our leadoff batter here on Hub Day. Hi, Lisa, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Hey, Bobby. Thanks for taking my call. I've been following all of the intrigue that's been going on between Brennan and Comey and who said what first and who didn't want to do what and so on and
right.
So on.
Yeah.
And I've come to the conclusion that they are all guilty, and we're going to see finger-pointing, and we're going to see a lot of he said type stuff.
Yep.
And we know that Comey illegally leaked. We know that.
Yes.
We know that Brennan and Clapper have both lied to Congress.
Yep.
We know that.
Yep.
And I hope that they go after him, if nothing else, for those things. But what I think we're going to see is Durham scares these people. As a matter of fact, I read an article this morning about former FBI attorney Baker.
Mm-hmm.
I think his first name is James.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, he made that comment. He said that U.S. Attorney Durham scares him. And so for a former FBI attorney to say that, there's something out there.
Yeah.
And when he really starts looking at these FISA warrants, I think we're going to see a lot of people take a big fall over this.
You know, somebody who has been following this pretty closely for a long time as a former U.S. prosecutor, Joe DeGeneva. And the information that he has put out on the web has proven to be pretty accurate almost every time he has issued a statement on it. And I haven't had a chance to read the piece yet, but I saw the headline on it. And I believe I have it here in the Bobby Mack stack, and we'll work our way down to it. But Joseph DeGeneva was quoted as saying today he feels for the first time in this whole mess that some people are going to go to jail over this, which is certainly refreshing news to me because that's exactly what should happen.
And they should. I just wonder how far up the chain he's going to take it,
yeah.
If he's going to stop. You know, if it shows that Lynch or Holder are guilty of some of these charges, will he pursue that? I mean, somebody's going to fall on their sword for Obama.
Yeah.
Obama will never face a charge
because
no one's going to let him face a charge. He's got too many people that will lay down and die for him. And so I just wonder how far up the chain that it's going to go. But something I find really amusing, and maybe I just have a really strange sense of humor, is the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yes.
So maybe having fried chicken in that House committee room was more appropriate than anybody realized at the time.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a lot of these chickens are going to get fried.
Yeah, with Congressman Steve Cohen, the Looney Tunes from Memphis. Yeah. And his KFC chicken bucket in there. Yeah. Well,
right. So I think a lot of these chickens are going to get fried, and they need to be. The swamp doesn't need to be drained. I've told my friends the swamp needs to be blown up.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Look, when people have put one hand on the Bible and raised their other hand and have sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, when those people who are charged with enforcing our laws are themselves breaking them, twisting the laws, using the power of governmental intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies for political purposes to go after an opposition presidential candidate. This is banana republic stuff.
Right. They've put themselves above the law.
They did.
For the good of the country. When it's not the good of the country, it's themselves and their agenda. These people are establishment. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans. They're establishment, and they want the status quo to be maintained. They didn't like Trump because he was not one of them.
Yep.
It could have been any of the other Republicans. They probably wouldn't have liked him, but they wouldn't have gone after him like Trump. Trump is a real threat to these people, and they have done everything that they could to get him removed from office, short of assassination. And honestly and truly, I wouldn't have been surprised to see that, because I truly believe that we have people that are that corrupt in the higher echelons of our government.
Well,
and it wouldn't have surprised me at all.
And look at the level of arrogance in these people. Comey, who lied before Congress, then in the ultimate arrogant approach that they take, writes a book called A Higher Calling. So this guy is wrapping himself. He's a great patriot. He's not somebody that is colluding and conspiring in a coup attempt against a legitimately elected president. No, not Comey, not Brennan. These guys are patriots.
Yeah, they think they're above the law. I really think, honestly, I think James Comey has really slipped a few cogs. I mean, some of the stuff that he said, the way he acted on CNN the other night was just bizarre. He goes out into the forest to find his inner self or whatever he does when he goes out there. I think the man is really losing it. I think he has deluded himself to the point that he thinks everything he says is right.
Yeah, he's
dangerous.
He's another of the ultimate narcissists of these guys. Which leads to the question, Lisa, if James Comey lies in the forest, is it still a lie?
Only if a tree falls, I guess. I don't know.
Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate the call. Good to have you here today. 3:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Patrick's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side. It's Hump Day here on WORD.
Rock on, brother.
That's what we do, because we love rock and roll. 3:35, 25 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. So the finger pointing has begun in earnest. Brennan says, no, 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 it wasn't me, it was Comey. Comey says, no, don't look at me, it was Brennan. Fox News reached out to Mr. Comey's legal team twice, provided the statement from the former CIA official saying it was Comey who went to talk to Trump about the Steele dossier and then was the leaker, of course. Fox News did not receive a reply on the record. In March, Senator Rand Paul leveled similar allegations on Twitter, citing a high-level source who said Brennan had insisted that the unverified and fake Steele dossier be included in that January 2017 ICA. Now, Clapper previously testified the dossier was not ultimately used in the ICA. News that Comey had briefed Trump personally on the dossier before the inauguration, purportedly to warn him of potential blackmail threats, leaked within days and opened the door for media outlets to publicize the dossier's lurid claims, none of which have been verified as having been real. Whether the FBI acted appropriately in obtaining the FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign aide, Carter Page, is now the subject not only of U.S. Attorney John Durham's new probe, but also the ongoing review by the DOJ's Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. U.S. Attorney for Utah, John Huber, has been conducting his own investigation separately, although details of his progress were unclear. As one example, in its FISA application, the Bureau reportedly and incorrectly assured the court, the FISA court, in a footnote that it does not believe British former spy Christopher Steele was the direct source for an article in Yahoo News implicating Page in Russian collusion, and instead asserted that the Yahoo article provided an independent basis to believe Steele's dossier. Well, in point of fact, we now know that it was Steele himself who leaked it to the Yahoo News reporter. Steele has told a British court that he briefed multiple news organizations during the fall of 2016, including Yahoo News. Trey Gowdy's remarks echoed Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who told Fox News Sunday Morning Futures this past weekend that he was pushing to declassify documents that would expose the FBI's poor efforts to corroborate the dossier. Well, that's a mischaracterization as well. The FBI didn't have poor efforts to corroborate the dossier. They had no efforts to corroborate the Steele dossier. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. They didn't do a thing to corroborate it because they knew it had been created by Steele at the behest of Fusion GPS, this dirt-finding firm that does opposition research on candidates. And Fusion GPS, of course, had been paid by the DNC and Hillary. Senator Graham saying there's a document that's classified that I'm going to try to get unclassified that takes the dossier, all the pages of it, and it has verification to one side. There really is no verification other than media reports that were generated by reporters who received the dossier. Lindsey cited a report from The Hill's John Solomon that the FBI was told expressly that Steele, who was a confidential informant for the FBI, had admitted to a State Department contact that he was keen, his word, to leak his discredited dossier for purposes of influencing the 2016 election. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Kathleen Kavalek's written account of her meeting with Steele, 11 October 2016, was sent to the FBI prior to the FBI's FISA warrant application to monitor or spy on Carter Page, according to records unearthed in a transparency lawsuit by Citizens United. So there is that. Now then, former U.S. attorney and Fox News contributor Andy McCarthy, he's a guy that put the blind sheikh in prison for life for the first World Trade Center bombing in the parking garage. Andy McCarthy said it's ridiculous that some Democrats are complaining about Attorney General William Barr's review of the origins of the Russia investigation. Barr has appointed John Durham, U.S. attorney in Connecticut, to examine the genesis of the Russia probe and determine if intelligence collection efforts targeting the Trump campaign were lawful and appropriate. And I think from our perspective, it's safe to assume they aren't. They were done for purely political reasons. Former CIA Director John Brennan insisted on BSNBC Tuesday that surveillance of the Trump campaign went through a rigorous due process and was approved by the FISA court. Yeah, of course, they didn't bother to tell the FISA court the whole story that the Steele dossier had been paid for by the Hillary campaign. Any efforts by Republicans to portray the surveillance as a deep state operation are a misrepresentation, Brennan said. Appearing on America's Newsroom today, Andy McCarthy said this is all part of an oversight exercise as intelligence agencies' internal watchdogs are supposed to provide oversight along with Congress. He said he would like to see a thorough investigation of how DOJ and FBI officials presented information to the FISA court and also how the FISA court justified granting some of the warrants on Trump campaign associates, primarily Carter Page. McCarthy said, if what Director Brennan is saying is true, then what's he worried about? We spent 2 years on a fishing expedition under the guise of collusion, said McCarthy. They're now going to complain about oversight of the intelligence and the Justice Department and the FBI. That seems ridiculous to me. So there is that. Now, about Mr. Durham. Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham was appointed to investigate the origins of the Russia-Trump probe. Apparently, he has been on the job for weeks. Durham is the perfect investigator for the job, by all accounts, and he had experience with Robert Mueller in the Whitey Bulger case. He did not side with Mueller, and Mueller's agents suffered the consequences of Mueller's, some say, corrupt leadership. Back in the late 1990s, there were allegations that FBI informants James Whitey Bulger and Stephen the Rifleman Flemmy had corrupted their handlers. So in 1999, Janet Reno appointed John Durham special prosecutor and charged him with investigating FBI corruption in Boston. As it turned out, FBI agents aided mass murderer Whitey Bulger and hid his crimes. Bulger was a protected informant. And, of course, he fed the FBI all false information. Durham sent one agent involved, one FBI agent, sent him to prison for 10 years. Then U.S. Attorney Robert Mueller is probably the one who should have landed in the pen. He allowed four innocent men to be sent to prison for a murder he knew they didn't commit. And he did it to protect Whitey Bulger. One of the four men was in Florida at the time of the murder and could not have been involved in committing it. When Durham went through the documents, he found that the four men, Enrico Tamaleo, Joseph Salvati, Peter J. Limone, and Louis Greco, had actually been framed. Four people who were innocent were kept in jail for years in order to protect the status of Whitey Bulger as an FBI informant. The Boston Globe wrote, Mike Albano, former parole board member who was threatened by two FBI agents for considering parole for the men in prison for a crime they did not commit, was appalled that later that same year, Mueller was appointed FBI director because it was Mueller, first as an assistant U.S. attorney, then as the acting U.S. attorney in Boston, who wrote letters to the Parole and Pardons Board throughout the 1980s, opposing clemency for the four men framed by FBI lies. Of course, Mueller was also in that position while Whitey Bulger was helping the FBI cart off his criminal competitors, even as he buried bodies in shallow graves along the river. In December 2000, Durham revealed secret FBI documents that convinced a judge to vacate the 1968 murder convictions of the four. In 2007, to help protect Whitey Bulger, and that's what all those people were being held in jail for, the documents helped Salvatti, Limone, and the families of the two other men who had died in prison to win a $101.7 million civil judgment against the government. Durham got the two surviving framed men released from prison. Robert Mueller was knee-deep in this scandal, along with Andrew Wiseman and the agent sent to prison. But because Reno gave him very limited authority, Durham was not able to prosecute Mueller, who was not in the FBI at the time. Mueller kept four innocent people in jail for years to protect the informant status of Whitey Bulger, a mass-murdering Boston mobster who ended up dying in prison, and it ended up costing the government $100 million plus in civil judgments. Yeah, Mueller's as pure as the driven snow, all right. Man. What's that old saying, those who fail to learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them? And this guy got appointed head of the FBI? Swell. 14 before 4. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show.
Hammer, more power.
Welcome back. Great to have you along. 3:51, 9 now before 4 o'clock here on the Bobby Mack Show, the Hump Day edition. In on the text line, Bob, you think Whitey Bulger had dirt on Mueller? I mean, his getting killed in prison turned out to be pretty convenient for Mueller, huh? Bob, Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz was head of the DNC at this time. Isn't she tight with crooked Hillary Rodham Kankel's pantsuit Clinton? Yeah, definitely is. Bob, if Trey Gowdy knew all this information, why didn't he bring it out? You have to ask him, I guess. Bobby, if a tree falls in the forest, will it land on James Comey? We can only hope so. Bobby, with the chickens coming home to roost, the investigation, they're going to find out who the big rooster is, and they may not like who they find. Bobby, want to get to the truth? Let the one in the deep state, hungriest for power with the least to lose, decide to leak. And I believe that catches me up with the text line. Let's, never did get to the birthdays yet for today. Let's quickly do those, shall we? Happy birthday to you if you're celebrating on this mid-May day, 15th of the month. Share your birthday with Andy Murray, tennis great. He is 32. Alexandra Breckenridge, 37. Kevin's ex-wife, Sophie, on This Is Us. Jamie Lynn Sigler, she was Meadow Soprano, one of the kids on The Sopranos. She is 38 today. David Krumholz, the math guy on Numbers, is 41. Ray Lewis, retired Baltimore Ravens star linebacker and former Super Bowl MVP, is 44. Ahmet Zappa is 45, son of Frank Zappa, the Mothers of Invention, the brother of Dweezil Zappa. Let's see, Emmitt Smith, retired Dallas Cowboys legend and Dancing with the Stars winner. Emmitt Smith is the big 5-0 today. Dan Patrick, former ESPN SportsCenter anchor, and of course now has his own radio show. Dan Patrick is 63. George Brett, he is 66 today, former Kansas City Royals great. Chaz Palminteri is 67, been in tons of movies. Nicholas Hammond is 69, played Friedrich von Trapp in The Sound of Music. Lainey Kazan is 79, the Big Fat Greek Mama in My Big Fat Greek Wedding in the recent sequel. Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, is 82 today. And Wavy Gravy from Woodstock is 83. Real name is Hugh Romney. Looks like the, 50th anniversary of Woodstock is not going to happen. 9 days to go until the Memorial Day weekend. 32 days until Father's Day, where not nearly as much money will be spent as is on Mother's Day. Wait a minute, isn't that sexist? And 50 days to go until the fireworks go off on the 4th of July. Back in the day on 15 May, 89 years ago today in 1930, Ellen Church became the first airline stewardess. I'm sorry, flight attendant. When she went on duty aboard a United Airlines flight from San Francisco to Cheyenne, Wyoming. 79 years ago today, in 1940, nylon stockings went on sale for the first time in the United States. Of course, with the onset of World War II, they went off the market because the nylon was needed for military purposes, and so women took to drawing a line up their leg with a pin to make it appear they were still wearing nylon stockings. 78 years ago today, in 1941, Joe DiMaggio's record 56-game hitting streak started. The Yankee Clipper got a hit in every game until the 17th of July. 48 years ago today, 1971, Pink Floyd played at the Crystal Palace Bowl in London. They rocked out in front of a large lake, and the loud music killed a number of fish in the pond nearby. Wait until PETA hears about this. 26 years ago today, 1993, the pretty attractive Jane Seymour married the below-average-looking James Keach. They would divorce in 2015. 21 years ago today, in 1998, Sonny and Cher received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Sonny, sadly, could not make it to the ceremony, having skied into a tree and died on January 5th of that year, 1998. 16 years ago, in 2003, June Carter Cash passed away in Nashville, Tennessee, following heart surgery complications. She was 73. 4 months later, on September 12th, her husband, Johnny Cash, followed her. Died of complications from diabetes. He was 71. 9 years ago today in 2010, Jessica Watson became the youngest person to sail nonstop around the world without assistance. She was 16 years old. Not too shabby. There you go. You're caught up. When we come back on the other side, the good old boys are wrapping things up down in Columbia. Not a moment too soon. Dave Schwartz from Freedom Action Network of South Carolina joins me for an extended edition with the legislature nearing its close. That's next here on the Bobby Mack Show on Hump Day.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.